You're listening to a sermon from Christian Life, the Island Church, in Orange Beach, Alabama. For more information, visit christianlifechurch.tv.
This morning, but I love this. How many gospels are there? Remember, trick question. There's one. And it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. He lived, he died, he was buried, and he rose again. Amen? Let's say it together. He lived, he died, he was buried, and he rose again. The good news, we can be reconciled to the Father through Jesus Christ. But there are four accounts. One gospel, but there's four gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John does it in the most simple way. He does it different than anyone else. He gives us the miracles of Jesus. He gives us the I ams of Jesus. And it's a book that when someone gets saved, we tell people you need to read a psalm, you need to read a proverb, and you need to read the book of John. Well, it's good for us to go through so we understand about Jesus. Maybe you heard about the pastor who had a baby boy, and he named him Matthew. He had another baby boy, named him Mark. Had another baby boy, and he named him Luke. How many are getting the idea here? And then he had a baby girl, and he named her Jonna. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's something interesting about John's perspective. They're all vitally important. They all give an account of the resurrection. John gives an account of the birth of Christ different than the others because he doesn't start with a genealogy and he doesn't start with Joseph and Mary, but he starts in the beginning. Or if you're a baseball fan, in the beginning. That's a joke. All right. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What we discovered last week, and I'm just going to fly through this, is Jesus is the Word. What is a word? A word is an audible or visual expression of a thought. Jesus is the literal expression of God. He came to show us what Christ was like. We said Jesus was with God from the beginning. The beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Jesus is the Word, and he was with God. And so it's important for us to understand that he's always been. We haven't always been. I came into existence. I was established in 1960. But he has always been and he will always be. He is the I am. He is God and the Word was God. And we talked about the doctrine of the Trinity and how important it is for us to have that foundation. And then we said this, he is the creator. And he nothing was created without him. And he holds this whole world together. Amen? What'd we say that was? That's the doctrine of the deity of Christ. And it's important that we have that foundation or we'll be swayed by various doctrines because not all people, there are billions of people that do not believe Jesus is God. They do not believe that he was born of a virgin. And so it's important for us to understand the doctrine of the deity of Christ. Now, we said, how does that affect us? Well, we know Jesus made us, we know Jesus cares for us, and we know he delivers those who trust in him. We'll come back to that a little bit at the end of today. Today, I want us to build off of last week's message, what I just gave you. So we're looking at John verses 1 through 9. We'll read those first verses that we read, but really we're picking up with verses 4 and following. But I want you to see this in context to see how the Word of God fits together. Here's what it says. John 1, verses 1 through 9. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Does that sound familiar? Didn't we just sing that? Hello? Did you catch those words? I think it was second service last week. I told him, I said, hey, Luke just wrote that song. You can go on all the media platforms and you can find Luke's music on there. And after service, Luke said, Dad, that one's not on there. Don't tell people. He said, I wrote it Thursday. What a song. What a powerful expression of what we are talking about. I thought, wow, he knows we're going through John. God puts this on his heart, and we're singing the scriptures this morning that the light could not put out that darkness. In him was life, the life was the light of men, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Hallelujah. That's awesome, isn't it? See, we live in a dark world, but how many recognize this? That when it's the darkest, that's when God's people shine the brightest. Amen? My dad used to always talk about a diamond on black velvet. People gripe and complain about how bad and how dark it is. It's the greatest day in all the world for the church, because where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Amen. All right, so here it is. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, this is not John who's writing this. We're talking about John the Baptist. He came as a witness, or he came to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light, the true light, which gives light to everyone. Was coming into the world. Here's what I want us to see today in these moments that we have. Number one is this. We've been talking about Jesus is. Well, here's another Jesus is. Jesus is life. Amen. Thank you, Liz. Wish my mom was here. I'd get two amens. Amen. Jesus is life. Amen. The word life appears over 200 times in the New Testament. We'll study more about this, but in John 14 and 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth. Say it with me, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through. Me. John 10:10. It's probably my favorite verse in the Bible. It was my dad's favorite verse. And it talks about this. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. So here's the obvious question this morning. Do you have life? Are you living, or are you just existing? Are you living each day with an expectancy, with a sense of, I wonder what God wants to do in my life today. I wonder who he's going to bring into my path today. I wonder how I might be a blessing to someone today. Or do we live with that, just that drudgery, that dread. I've talked to you about that before. I've been there. I've been there when I didn't want to get out of bed in the morning, when I wanted to pull the covers up over my head, when I didn't want to go to church, I didn't want to go to the office. I went in the back door. There was an undertow of what was happening. This is a church that I pastored previously. And it was like, God, if I can just get to my desk, then I can make it through the first hour, the second hour. Just that dread of having to face everything that was happening and the undermine and the undertow. I was being sued over a situation that happened before I was even the pastor. I was personally being sued. The church was being sued. I was having to meet with attorneys. It was eternity for me, I'll tell you. I was having to meet with attorneys. I was having to learn about depositions and what to say and what not to say, and I was out of my element. I get dread. Here's what I want you to know. You can get through the dread if you've got life. If you know there's something more, and if you got Jesus, there's something more. What if you're facing a death sentence? There's something more. Amen? Sure there is. And so we understand Satan's job's description. Jesus outlined it so we would all know it. It's no secret. He has come to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to undermine everything good in your life and in your family. Anytime you see people killing, stealing, and destroying, let me tell you, they are acting like their father, the devil. Because that's what the devil does. That's not what God does. Somebody say amen. You know, people always want to blame things on guns and on this and on that. People act out of their heart. Their heart is wicked. Their heart is dark. Jesus told them 2,000 years ago, you are of your father, the devil, and the works of your father you carry out. He was a murderer from the beginning. He was telling them what the enemy has come to try to do. The devil is not your friend, and the world is not your friend. And the sooner you quit cuddling up with the world and trying to be like the world and start trying to be like the Father, the sooner you're going to have life and get away from death. See, Jesus is life. In the New Testament, there's two words for life. One's bios. Everyone has physical life. It's where we get biology. So if your heart's beating today, your lungs are sending oxygen to your body and your brain's processing, you've got life. But Jesus promised life and life in abundance. He didn't use the word bios. He used the word zoe, which speaks of eternal life. It speaks of the quality of life. It speaks of a higher plane of living. It's more than existing. You know, we just get in this rut. I'm amazing how much of a rut I get into, how much, I call it a rhythm. Sometimes it's a rut. Sometimes it's a rhythm, but most of the time it's a rut. Where I just do the same thing. You know, I was practicing for a golf tournament one time when I was living in California, and they had this pastors of Northern California played the pastors of Southern California, and it was set up like a Ryder Cup event, and I had to try out, qualify to make the team. And I made the team, and man, I was pounding golf balls every morning early and late at night. I was down, and the guy that worked at that golf shop or that golf course that I'd go to, he knew what was going on. He used to just slide me tokens across to hit golf balls. And one day he told me, he said, Fred, he said, let me tell you something. He said, practice doesn't make perfect. He said, practice makes permanent. And he said, so you're hitting a lot of balls, but let me just say this. If you're not hitting them right, you're getting in a rut. And you know what? A lot of people do the same thing. They're practice and they're in a rut. They're not living life right. They don't have the right attitude. They don't have the right heart. They're negative. They always just kind of see the devil's advocate side. I understand seeing the devil's advocate side. I understand looking at things. But some people, they feel like that's their gift. Well, really, you're just in a rut because you've never seen God's perspective. You're too busy seeing the devil's perspective. So why don't you see God's perspective? Why don't you see the good in it rather than just seeing, well, what might happen or how bad it might be? And so this whole idea that we just get up and it's a grind, we're tired, we stayed up too late, we've watched Shawshank Redemption for the 100th time, and it's like whatever that movie is, we've watched it, Gladiator, Outlaw Josie Wells, excuse me for my confession time. And then we're tired in the morning and we drag ourselves and we drink our coffee and we get there and either, you know, it's a good or a bad conversation, but we just kind of go through a routine and then it's lunch and then it's afternoon. Then we're tired and we get home, then we'll take a nap, then we'll get up, then we'll watch TV, then we'll stay late. And we go through this routine and there's never been a God moment. Never been a God thought. Never been a moment where we put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, gird ourselves with truth, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, sword of the Spirit, and the shield of faith. Never been a moment when we said, God, today, let me win a soul. God, today, lead me to someone that needs an encouraging word. God, today, let me be a blessing to someone. We see things as interruptions. Jesus never saw things as interruptions. Do you know every miracle that Jesus did was an interruption? He never set out to go do a miracle. He was on his way somewhere and people would throng on and a miracle would happen. We see distractions and we think, man, I got all this stuff to do. Stop. It might be a divine appointment and an opportunity for a miracle. Eternal life. Eternal life. I know we've all heard the story. I don't know. If it's true or not, but about the rich old man kind of pulled himself up by his own bootstraps. He was wealthy beyond wealth. And when he died, he said, when I die, I want to be buried in my Cadillac with my boots on, 10-gallon hat with a cigar in my mouth, and all of my prized possessions sitting there in the car with me. According to the story, grave diggers dug a huge hole, took a crane and set that Cadillac down in the ground. And one of the grave diggers said to the other, man, now that's living. The other grave digger said, not really, that's really dying. And I think we think that's living when it's death. There's no life in it. It's the world. It's the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. We love the world. Bible says don't love the world, things in the world. All that's in the world is this lust. How do you overcome a love for the world? By your love for the Father. Why? Because he is the life giver. If I were to ask you, how do you define eternal life? How do you define eternal life? You might say, well, living forever. That's partially right. Listen to this. Jesus defined eternal life. In John 17 and verse 3, he says, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I love that. Eternal life is knowing God. It's knowing Jesus. What about this? 1 John 5:12. Whoever has the Son has life. See, life's in Christ. Watch this. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I want to say this. The best that I can. The clearest that I can. And it's this. And I don't mean to be condescending. I don't mean to be arrogant. But if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you may have a good life. You may have a good marriage. You may have a good retirement account, nice home, beautiful boat. You may have a lot of wonderful things. But according to the Word of God, you really don't have life. You think that you're living. You think you're living. See, there's churches all across America where a better life is what it's all about. See, you hear me say this time and time again. Jesus didn't come to give me a better life. He came to give me a changed life, to change me, to make me to be like him, to reconcile me to my heavenly Father. So life is knowing Jesus. Life is living in Jesus. How many of you put up an artificial tree? Christmas is coming. How many put up an artificial tree? When I was growing up, I have it. My mom gave it to me. I put it up in my office every year. She gave me one of these the old silver little trees, and you had the light that was on the back of it that was burned because it got up against something, so one of the colors just melted. I've got that little tree. And you guys, oh, my mom is a trip. She's 87 years old. I told you, she just got her driver's license renewed till she's 90. She got stopped the other day. She was speeding in town. She drove 3 miles with the cop behind her. She said, I wasn't pulling over for him. She said, so he had his lights on all the way, and I pulled into the yard. I got out. He said, ma'am, do you live here? She said, I do. I have for the last 100 years. And he said, well, ma'am, you better slow down when you go through downtown next time, and just left. I think he thought, I'm not messing with this old woman right here. But my mom put that Christmas tree up, and then here's what she would do. On Christmas Day, after the presents were unwrapped, she took that tree down, put it in the box, and put it back in the cabinet. Christmas is over. All right, time to go home. How many of you put up a real tree, a live tree? How many put up a live tree? Now, be careful. I don't do a lot of tricks, but I've done 2 tricks in a row. See, if you put up a real tree, it's really not a live tree. Hello? Because a live tree is in the ground. It's got roots. You cut that thing off, it may be a real tree, but it's not a... You can decorate it, and you can make it look really sparkly, and you can make it look really cool, and you can put all the lights on it, but it's still dead. Hello, church. Churches all over America got all kinds of looking right, looking good, but they're dead. People are dead. They don't know Jesus. To know Jesus is to have life. And Jesus said, we're talking about life and life to the full. Someone say a big amen. All right, here's the next thing. Jesus is the light. We're doing the Jesus is. Jesus is the light. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness. The darkness can't overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe in him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming to the world. Let me give you just a couple things. Our time has flown this morning. Here's a couple things about his light. His light, number one, here's what light does. It reveals our sin. It reveals our sin. In the Bible, darkness represents evil and light represents goodness. Satan is called the prince of darkness. Jesus described hell as a place of outer darkness. Jesus said men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are darkness. evil. See, we think if it's hidden, that nobody sees it. But here's what you got to remember. God sees it. And sometimes the things he sees, he even chooses to shout from the rooftop. We think we're getting away with it. Hey, listen, there's been things I thought I got away with, but God had a way of revealing it and humbling me. Does anybody know, is anybody here, let me take these off so I can see you, know what I'm talking about? I thought I'm okay. I wasn't okay. Why? His light. Light reveals what? Sin. Imperfection. Imperfection. You ever gone to one of those hotels? We don't have one. We have a magnifying glass that you flip. And the Bible says that God's word is like a mirror. You ever been to a hotel where they have that mirror and it has a light on it? And you think, I look pretty good. Until you turn the light on and it's magnified. And you think, dear God, look at the poor. Look, I got a hair coming out right there. That's what the light. See, it's not just a casual. It is an illuminating, magnifying light. And I'm not as spiritual as I think I am. I'm not as good as I think I am. When his light shines on me, I become like Isaiah. Woe is me. Amen. Oh God, oh God. See, that's why we need to say, search me. All these scriptures are in your notes. Search me, oh God. Search me. Psalm 139. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way. Let me tell you something. When he puts that light on you, when he magnifies that and puts that light, boom, we see how much we need him. Would you do this? Would you be so brave as to ask the Holy Spirit to shine his spotlight on you? Would you be so brave today? How many of us want more of God? I do. I said us. I didn't say you. I'm preaching to us. I know this is elevated a little bit. I wish I was down a little bit. This is to us. I'm preaching to me. I'm preaching to you. This is us. Amen? How many of us? Sometimes I get so embarrassed at some of the things I say or do. Holy cow, I think, dear God. So I'm saying us. Are you with me here? To say, God, would you shine your light upon me? Holy Spirit, your conviction is real. How about this? His light reveals his way. Light reveals the way. Light reveals the way. God promised to give us light, to show us his way. Isaiah says, this is the way, walk in it. That's God's GPS. Have you ever thought, man, I wish he would actually say something to me? Or how about this? How about God's GPS? How about that pillar of cloud by day? How about that pillar of fire by night that led the children of Israel? As long as the pillar remained over the tabernacle, they stayed put. But when the pillar of cloud or the fire moved, they followed it. Wouldn't it be easy if God gave us something so reliable? Well, he has. He has. GPS, kind of funny, I came across this week. You know, my GPS says, you know, turn right here, turn left here, make U-turn. Goes on and on. Came across this. Here's GPS. When I was a kid, here's GPS. Go past Jeff's house, turn where the barn used to be. Go a little ways till you get to the house where that really weird guy used to live. Go a little bit down on the right, down that bumpy road, cross over the old bridge. Then his house is past the place where those dogs used to chase us. That was GPS growing up. We think, wouldn't it be great if God spoke? He is speaking. It's his word. Somebody say amen. He's leading and guiding us. He gives us life and he gives us light. It's about a relationship and it's about obedience, following him in his word. Amen. Stand with me, would you please? The last point says he's the fulfillment of prophecies, which that has to do with John the Baptist. John the Baptist came. He wasn't the light, but he was there to show the light. All those prophecies, 300 plus prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. All right, talking doctrine. What's the big ideas? What's the takeaway today? Here it is. I go back, Jesus made you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're not an accident. He cares for you. He's mindful of your pain, of your private pain. When you say nobody, no one understands what I go through, God does.